Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we're going to bring you a whole bunch of news and views. And we have a report by Pete Wood tonight. Oh, that's the very word. There we go.
Yep. And we don't have a...
If you just hang on 1 second here, I'm just trying to...
Leo signing into the other computer. We don't have a special guest tonight, but we have Woody in the ring at 8:30. And in the meantime, we'll be bringing you some news.
Yeah.
So let's take a look and see what's on the news radar for this evening.
Well, this one, a lot of my Facebook friends, especially Sandra Lavender, I want to thank her in case she's listening. She sends a lot of interesting stuff. She lives in Australia. But she sends a whole lot of international and national news my way. And this one I got from her recently. It said, 10 reasons the rest of the world thinks the U.S. is nuts.
I
got a kick out of that. Hang on 1 second here. And?
I wonder who the author is of this. And who's the rest of the world?
The rest of the world. Celebrity Gossip News. 10 reasons the world thinks the U.S. is nuts.
This week, the Georgia State Legislature debated a bill in the House that would make it necessary for some women to carry stillborn or dying fetuses until they naturally go into labor. In arguing for this bill, Representative Terry England described his empathy for pregnant cows and pigs in the same situation.
Good Lord.
I have a question for Terry England, Sam Brownback, Rick Santorum, Rick Perry, and too many others. I have 3 daughters, 2 of them twins. If one of my twins had been stillborn, would you have made me carry her to term, thereby endangering both the other twin and me? Or would you have insisted that the state order a mandatory fetal extraction of the living twin fetus from my womb so that I could continue to carry the stillborn one to term and possibly die myself? My family is curious, since you believe my uterus is your public property. I am too. Mr. England, unlike the calves and pigs for which you express so much empathy, I am not a beast of burden. I am a woman, and I have these human rights: the right to life, the right to privacy, the right to freedom, the right to bodily integrity, the right to decide when and how I reproduce. Mr. England, you and your friends do not get to trade these rights while dog and hog hunting in return for young man's chickens.
My human rights outweigh any you or the state corruptly and cynically seek to assign to a mass of dividing cells that will eventually turn into a natural person. Personhood, or zygote, based bills and related legislation like Georgia's and hundreds of other bills and laws that criminalize pregnancy and abortion, penalize women for being women, violate my human rights.
And here are the 10 reasons. The rest of the civilized world thinks this country has lost its mind. It's no wonder. Look at this list of frenzied misogyny. Making women carry stillborn fetuses to full term because cows and pigs do. Number 2, consigning women to death to save a fetus. Number 3, criminalizing pregnancy and miscarriage and arresting and imprisoning and charging women who miscarry with murder, like Renee Gibbs in Mississippi, or at least 40 other similar cases in Alabama. Number 4, forcing women to undergo involuntary vaginal penetration, otherwise called rape, with a condom-covered 6 to 8 inches ultrasonic probe. Pennsylvania is currently considering that option along with 11 other states. Transvaginal ultrasounds undertaken without a woman's consent are rape, according to the legal definition of the word. This violates a woman's bodily integrity and also constitutes torture when used, as states are suggesting, as a form of control and oppression. Women have the right not to be raped by the state.
Disabling women of sacrificing their lives, or sacrificing their lives, by either withholding medical treatment or forcing women to undergo involuntary medical procedures. We impose an unequal obligation on women to sacrifice their bodily integrity for another. For example, as in Tysiak versus Poland, in which the mother of two became blind after her doctor refused to perform an abortion that she wanted that would have halted the course of degenerative eye disease. If my newborn baby is in need of a kidney and you have to spare a spare matching one, can I enact legislation that says the state can take yours and give it to her? No, we do not force people to donate their organs to benefit others, even those who have already been born. And one of the most fundamental of all human rights is that humans be treated equally before the law. Denying a woman this right is a violation of her equal rights to this protection.
Giving zygotes personhood rights, which systematically strip, while systematically stripping women of their fundamental rights. There is too much to say about the danger of personhood ideas creeping into health policy to do it here. But consider what happens to a woman whose womb is not considered the best environment for gestating fetus in a world of personhood for zygote legislation. Who decides the best environment? The state? Her insurance company? Her employer? Her rapist who decides he really, really wants to be a father? Anyone but a woman.
Inhibiting, humiliating, and punishing women for their choices to have an abortion for any reason by levying taxes specifically on abortion, including abortions sought by rape victims to end their involuntary insemination, imposing restrictive requirements like 24-hour wait periods and empowering doctors to lie to female patients about their fetuses in order to avoid prosecution. Arizona, Kansas, Texas, Virginia, Idaho, or Colorado, rather, Arkansas, and other states around the country, bills that make women pay for their choices are abounding.
Number eight, allowing employers to delve into a woman's private life and only pay for insurance when they agree for religious reasons with how she chooses to use birth control. In Arizona, which introduced such a bill this week, this means covering payments for both birth control as a benefit only when a woman has proven that she will not use it to control her own reproduction. As much as I am worried about women and families in Arizona, though, I am more worried about those in Alabama. You see, as recently revealed in public policy poll in Alabama, conservative evangelicals who support personhood related to pro-life legislation and are fighting for their religious liberty, 21% think interracial marriage should be illegal. So what if they decide that an employee involved in an interracial marriage should not, by divine mandate, reproduce? Do they switch and provide birth control for this employee? Do they make contraception a necessary term of employment for people in interracial marriages? This violates a woman's right to privacy. My womb is 1 million times more private than your bedrooms, gentlemen.
Nine, it's sacrificing women's overall health and the well-being of the families in order to stop them from exercising their fundamental human rights to control their own bodies and reproduction. Texas did just that when it turned down $35 million in federal funds, thereby ensuring that 300,000 low-income and uninsured Texan women will have no or great reduced access to basic preventative and reproductive health care.
Number 10, depriving women of the ability to earn a living support themselves and their families. Bills like this one in Arizona allow employers to fire women for using contraception. Women like these are being fired for naught.
Oh, I mean, this is surreal law going on there.
You presume to consign my daughters and yours to function as reproductive animals? This is about sex and property, not life and morality. Sex, because when women have sex and want to control their reproduction, that threatens powerful social structures that rely on patriarchal access to and control of a woman as reproductive engines, which brings us to property. Control of reproduction was vital when the agricultural revolution took place and we as a species stopped meandering around the plains in search of food. Reproduction and control of it ensured that a man could possess and consolidate wealth building and food producing land and then make sure it wasn't desecrated by passing it on to one son he knew was his, largely by claiming a woman and her gestation capability as property too. This is not about freedom of religion. If it were, we would, for example, allow Christian Scientists to refuse to pay for coverage of life-saving blood transfusions for employees. Religious freedom means I get to choose whether or not to be religious, and if so, how. It does not mean that I get to impose my religion on others. Paying for insurance is part of the way we compensate employees, even when they use the insurance in ways we don't agree with, and we are in contravention of our own personal beliefs. I think it is stupid, dangerous, and immoral to chain smoke, especially around children whose lungs are irreparably harmed. But I still have to pay for an employee to have access to lung scans, nicotine patches, and oxygen tanks. I do not get to say that my religious beliefs, which include keeping bodies as healthy as possible, make it possible for me to withhold payment of this employee's insurance. Guaranteed coverage of contraception and reproductive health care has overwhelming benefits for society, including reducing unwanted pregnancies and abortions. By inserting your religious beliefs so egregiously into government legislation in my life, you're imposing your religious beliefs on me. You don't like mandated insurance coverage for basic reproductive human health with two X chromosomes? I don't like being bred by state compulsion like Mr. England's farm animals. I have a moral objection to being treated like an animal and not a human. You do not have to use contraception. You do not have to use birth control. But that does not mean you have any right to tell me that I cannot if I choose. That's my right.
And, you know, that goes on a little bit more. But, you know, Tara, this is taken from the Huffington Post, actually, originally.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I just thought that was an interesting article. Amazing, the Santorum and those idiots. Christ almighty. The purpose of chemtrails. I wanted to get into this tonight because this was a really interesting article, I thought, that one that was kind of unique in itself. Because what it does is it really lays out
what
these chemtrails really can do or what they are going now. And
where is this from? This
This is from Before It's News, and the author here is, I don't forget his name. It's right here. Say who his author is.
Yeah.
Or maybe it does. Anyway, in 1999, the world changed. The money trust changed. The law, technology, and general direction of the planet. In order to even remotely grasp what is happening, you must disconnect your mind from the last century's way of thinking. Failure to change the way you think will preclude you from seeing reality accurately. There is no money anymore. Taxes are a thing of the past.
What we now have
is a brave new world. The purpose of this site is to simply show how they control everyone on demand, as well as and end the confusion around the subject of chemtrails and how they fit into the larger picture of showing how the media and movies are conditioning the mind of the general public. This website is my account of the entire last decade. I'm sure I'm missing something here or there, but this is 95% accurate, I think. But he goes on, the reason for everything.
So let's go down to the...
What's the purpose? Well, it kind of gets into the concept of nanowires. Let's just get right to it. Forget everything you know. Here's the epitome of reality. This video is the best example that summarizes what's happening. The nerve ending bridge. It's only simulation, but it summarizes everything that's happened in the past decade. This allows complete control of the host, your body, remotely, as demonstrated repeatedly in the movies. A more sophisticated set of nanobots would subsequently allow for a complete and full bio-app API to be installed without the host even knowing it. The basic idea consists of a set of nanowires tethered to electronics in the main catheter, such that they will spread out in a bouquet arrangement into a particular portion of the brain's vascular system. Such arrangement would support a very large number of probes in the millions. Each N-wire, or nanowire, would be used to record very securely electrical activity of a single and small group of neurons without invading the brain's parenchyma. Obviously, the advantage of such system is that it would not interfere with either the blood flow, exchange of gases, or produce any type of a disruption of the brain activity due to the tiny space occupied in the vascular bed.
What is the purpose of chemtrails? Chemtrails are a logical operation, a logistical operation, larger than the Hoover Dam, Trans-Alaska Pipeline, or moon landings. It's large and expensive. The biggest mistake one can make is assuming there is only one reason for chemtrails. There are about five or six reasons and possibly more. The top six are listed below with a brief summary. This website is concerned with the last, blocking the sun. This is a standard reason given to idiots in the government. We need to secretly stop global warming, so to keep it a secret that we're spraying, global warming is the catch-all con for everyone in the government. If you're smarter than this, they'll give you a better reason. Blocking the sun again. A reduction in sunlight across the planet works well to decrease crop yields slightly. This is part of the requirement to engineer a food crisis and bring in famine. This is tied in with the disappearing bees, too, but this site does not get into that. Superheating the atmosphere in order to create earthquakes and steer hurricanes, for example, Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. The atmosphere needs to be more conductive for electricity so installations such as HAARP can work their magic. So the chemtrails spray barium and aluminum, among other things, to create a more conductive upper atmosphere. Health erosion. As a side effect of everyone's health and immune system becomes more compromised, this is usually not an issue for most healthy people. Older people on the average will now die sooner, and any health complication is slightly more likely to be fatal. This is both a side effect of spraying and intentional. Anything to increase the kill rate without raising many alarm bells. Climate modification. To help or hurt crops, keep skies clear from major events like the Olympics, and cause a typhoon. Nanofiber propagation. To universally install the bio-API in everyone, they need to spray nanofibers. These fibers cannot be put into the food supply or given in some other way. The uptake across the population will take forever and not propagate very efficiently. It's much easier just to spray everyone like an insect. And because it's happening to everyone, in universal, the herd mentality of the upward masses then justifies it.
The unwashed masses.
Oh, the unwashed masses.
Nanofiber basics. Nanofiber specifically are a transport mechanism, nothing more. They hold a payload for delivery, a payload that would otherwise be compromised by the sun or atmosphere or not make it into its destination, your body. Such as a virus, RNA, aluminum, nanocomponents, etc. The fibers are surprisingly quite harmless as everyone has them. An example of these fibers can be found all over the internet or in the physical examples section of this site. The fibers must be independently sprayed. If they were added to the jet fuel, the extreme heat would destroy the payload. So it's not the fiber that is critical, it's the payload.
Bio-API phases. There are essentially two phases involved with the installation of bio-API. I categorize it as a phase one and phase two. If you can imagine a new laptop computer, all it has is the operating system like Windows, so it's kind of useless. This would be the equivalent to phase one. So a new computer can be remotely controlled by your IT tech support guy, but that is all. There's no program installed to do anything else with it. Phase two, everyone on the planet is affected
phase
in
one.
phase one. Everyone on the planet is affected and involved in this phase. Everyone, to some extent, has the nanofibers within their body cavity and therefore wired. Side effects include a clicking sound from within the skull and basic annoying body complications like aching joints. This phase actually provides complete remote control of your speech and thought patterns through suggestions. I guess about 90% of the populace has this phase complete. Phase two. This phase must be triggered and is extreme. It completely compromises your health and can do anything from kill you to simply monitor you. This phase cannot be forced onto you like phase one.
Technically, it can, but they don't do that yet.
This involves multiple nanosensors from ocular to heart and everything in between. I figure about 2% of the population has gone through this phase. If this phase is triggered in you, they consider you evil, as shown within the media examples page of this site. You must do something to trigger this phase, include eating cheap red meat, kissing specific people, using specific corporate healthcare beauty products. The objective they are reaching for here is to connect each event with a deadly sin of some sort. For example, Morgellons would be connected with vanity because your skin goes to hell. Ultimately, this phase provides complete remote control of your body and mind, including the monitoring of your emotions, thoughts, body functions, and everything in between.
Right. I just want to see what the media examples were. Movies obviously contain many clips.
To believe or to not believe something.
Audiences. To believe something, for example, to smoke cigarettes. Some call this marketing. Others refer to it as a form of brainwashing over time. Sometimes it's obvious and right in your face. Other times it's extremely high level and so subtle you can't even begin to catch it if you do not know what and why you're looking for it. The examples below attempt to tie the bio-API nano-implants together with the movies while showing the possible outcomes and possibilities the implants can provide once installed. Again, many concepts are specific in nature, and while others are broad in nature, there are also a few more media examples to the direct-to-speech page. What's interesting is it goes, as they talk about, there are several side effects associated with phase one, and especially phase two. Okay, inconsequential anomalies, they have to use the movies like always. So in other words, what it is your you're dealing with something that's quite freaky, like subliminal.
Post-hypnotic suggestion.
Or subliminal subjection,
mm-hmm.
to media, to the internet, to movies, radio, those kind of things. One significant but not serious side effect of phase two is when the scent neuron gets encapsulated. They alter the ability to smell slightly for whatever reason. Typically, people will say that they smell a burning feather or smoke smell. This is true, and when you cry, it smells of buttered popcorn, at least for me. This clip demonstrates how they condition the public, specifically connecting anyone who smells burning, in this case feathers, with someone who must be crazy. It's spread out through the whole movie and is the purpose of the entire movie itself. Simply notice the movie shows Billy Bob Thornton thinking he smells burning feathers, then specifically shows him acting crazy and stupid, flopping around on the floor. The audience obviously takes away from that burning smell, crazy person. Classic movie psyops. Also, keep in mind, all movie psyops like this are subtle. You have to keep the larger picture in mind to recognize what's actually happening. And Toxic Skies is a poor quality chemtrail propaganda movie. That's another one. And it's specifically about chemtrails, but you have to look closer to see what the outcome of the patients are to figure out what is happening. It reflects that they're trying to kill people, as in, lines in the whole movie, such as this, it starts off as a plague of biological threat.
I think folks should go to this site.
Oh, absolutely.
Too much for us to read
tonight.
There's
a whole lot of stuff. And check it out, because it's really a fascinating
movie. Well, let's tell them where to go.
And you can go, actually, the name of this site, back here, Mind Control.
That came from the other one. They need to go to the original site that you went to.
Yeah. Well, okay, if you go to Before It's News, okay, they're the ones that grabbed it. And I think it's the Purpose of Chemtrails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before It's News, The Purpose of Chemtrails is the name of the article.
Right.
And it's much too long for us to read it
right.
all.
Right. I've got a few more minutes of it. I just wanted to tell you. Itchy skin, aching joints, cranium clicking are three of the...
we read that.
Of the things, you know, that happen. Right? And burning smell, encapsulated person smell. Also, there's another interesting thing. Another phase is the left eye, one of the high-level concepts they push in the movies. Because the left eye is evil for some insane reason. Okay? And another is the permanent metallic taste that you get in your mouth. Metallic taste in your mouth typically... when going to sleep, it becomes prevalent. This is mostly a direct response to be monitored, that you are being monitored. The more they monitor you or your bioAPI, the more a metallic taste you receive. It's not a side effect of medication, but the typical response the doctor will give you. If you are not on medication and otherwise completely healthy and all of a sudden have a permanent metallic taste in your mouth, you are being monitored 24/7. And Morgellons disease can strike anyone, and it's a problem with the nanobots and the fibers, whether intentional or accidental. The body's immune system can't see or recognize the fibers at all. So when the body can't accept the fibers anymore, it begins to push them out through the skin. But the skin is a barrier because the fibers are too large, so the skin breaks up, which is why people get lesions. And note that technically everyone has Morgellons or nanofibers, and the actual Morgellons symptoms are when the person's body tries to get rid of them the only way possible. Some more conclusions can be seen here as well as a media reference. Okay, so that's essentially, there's more, this, then it goes to that back page.
There were a few articles a few years back on Morgellons. And mostly it was people from out west that were talking about it.
Yeah, they were
in
getting
California,
it more out west. And
Arizona.
Now they're getting it more, now they're getting it all over the place. And, you know, I really wish you could go to the site, you know, and check this out, because it's really quite a story. And I remember when we had Clifford Carnicom. He was the first to
talk about Morgellons.
Right, and bring it up and did the research on it. There's one more. We got just a couple more minutes. I want to read this one. Aborted fetus ingredients, vaccines, medications, makeup, juices, candy, Pepsi, foods, tea, coffee, soup, etc. I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Oh, and another article I wanted to bring in was the mass resignation of up to 20,000 executives worldwide. Soil ingredients here, cannibals drink Pepsi products. Pepsi serves up aborted fetus cells in soft drinks, which makes you who drink Pepsi cannibals.
That's disgusting.
When Obama agency rules Pepsi's use of aborted fetuses in soft drinks constitutes ordinary business operations.
Well, that's horrible.
Imagine that.
Letters from Pepsi to the SEC about the use of aborted fetuses in their foods. There's
a whole list of it.
Soylent Green.
Yes, well, Southern Green was, Southern Green is people. You know, did anybody ever see that movie? It's tremendous. But here's just a few products that have it.
All Pepsi soft drinks, Sierra Mist soft drinks, Mountain Dew soft drinks, Mug Root Beer and other soft drinks. No Fear beverages, Ocean Spray beverages.
Aquafina water.
Seattle's Best Coffee, Tazo beverages, Amp Energy beverages, Aquafina water, Aquafina flavored beverages, Double Shot Energy beverages.
Frappuccino beverages.
Lipton tea and other beverages. Propel beverages. Sobe beverages. Gatorade beverages. Fiesta Miranda beverages.
Sobe are all supposed to be natural foods.
Tropicana juices and beverages. All coffee creamers. Maggie brand instant soup. Bouillon cubes. Ketchup sauces. Seasoned instant noodles. Kraft Cadbury Adams products. Blackjack chewing gum. Bubbaloo. Bubblegum, Bubblicious Bubblegum, Chiclets, Clorets, Dentine, Freshen Up Gum, Sour Cherry Gum, Sour Apple Gum, Strident, Trident.
Cadbury Adams Candies, Sour Cherry Blasters, Fruit Mania, oh man, Juicy Squirts, Original Gummies, Fuzzy Peach, Sour Chillers, Mini Fruit Gums, other Cadbury Adams products, Certs, Breath Mints, Halls, Cough Drops, holy cow. Neox Cutis products. The company produces anti-wrinkle creams that contain cells from 14-week gestation aborted male baby. Okay. Huh. Neox Cutis products. Okay. The following is a list of the creams. Biogel Providium Journey, Bioserum Lumiere, and Bio Restorative Skin Cream. Vaccines. MMR2 Merck, ProQuad, Verivax, Chickenpox,
Verivax is the vaccine.
Pentacle, Pentacell, polio vaccine, Vacta, Hepatitis A, Havix, Twinrix, Hepatitis A. All these are vaccines that use human embryos. Jesus, other meds. Letters from Pepsi to the SEC about their use of aborted fetus in their foods. It goes on and on. So I'm gonna ask you to go to this because it's really quite frightening. August 4th, posted in political tags, Pepsi using embryo cells and flavored. Just when you think today food and beverages have reached their limit of disgusting salmonella bacteria, hormones, chemicals, pesticides, and colorings, now comes embryo kidney cells and flavorings. Huh. Don't tread on my food and beverage, Pepsi. A story in LifeSite News states that a biomedical firm has removed from their website their partners in using human embryo kidney cells in their R&D department for flavoring added to soft drinks. Their partner is Pepsi Company, amongst others, whose names are hidden from the public. Backlash from pro-life groups has produced this response from Pepsi. With respect to the flavor discovery research with Seminex, we utilize techniques that have been the gold standard for several decades. Therefore, consumers have been drinking human embryo kidney cells using derived from human fetuses for the past 20 to 30 more years and didn't even know it. Is this the kind of biomedical science fiction advancements that science has produced, kidney cells in your Pepsi? Obviously, this is another story not making the headlines in the mainstream media when stories like the Kardashian sisters dominate the news. Who can blame them for covering such vital information? Gold standard is soft drink, is human kidney cell for flavoring a soft drink. Hormones or cells ingested from other humans set up a negative immune response and is totally unnecessary to be used in a soft drink.
That's
if it was
horrible.
The gold standard, then why did Seminex remove Pepsi's name from their website? Why are they hiding who their partners really are, and what are they hiding? Pro-life group Children of God for Life,
which is targeting Pepsi
for a boycott, and have written the company protesting the use of human embryo cells and artificial flavoring in soft drinks. The pro-life director, Debbie Vinegary, says Pepsi and Seminex have done everything in their power to trivialize what they are doing, when in fact they are doing is only further damaging their public image. The group have written to all the Pepsi board of directors to protect their shareholders' interests. They are funding the research for Seminex, but no response from the board was given. If Pepsi is doing this, you almost bet all major soft drink companies are using embryo cells in soft drinks also, and there is no report to the contrary. Consumers find it disgusting to know that what they are drinking in a Pepsi is human aborted baby kidney cells. Another issue in the public is never even made aware of this ingredient. Pepsi sells millions of gallons of Pepsi every day around the world. Human embryo cells in Pepsi drinks, unbelievable. And dead baby kidney cells for flavoring. That's pretty darn awful and gross. If we have not been told for decades that human embryo, which is dead fetal cells, are in the very drink that was America's favorite, what else are we not being told about our food and drink? There's a lot of secrecy when it comes to corporate welfare and profits. More comments on this page are very revealing in how the public feels.
I don't buy anything that is with Pepsi, Kraft, Lipton, or anything that has to do with Pepsi and Seminex, and all of my family have also stopped buying these products. And Heinz in Leamington, Canada, have stopped Pepsi and Frito-Lay chips in their company. My sister works there, and all Pepsi machines and Frito-Lay chips have been removed. That's a good start, a company with a soul and a conscience. Seminex website states they're an innovative flavoring company and produce flavorings for food, beverages, and ingredient supply companies. The websites boast they achieve a competitive advantage and improve the nutritional profile of their products. What is even more strange is... What is even more strange is why the U.S. Patent Office is issuing patents for embryo fetal cells to be used in human.
Put his number in there. Okay.
And to be used in human.
Where
to be used in human food consumption.
And again, we have to point the finger at the U.S. government for allowing patents on aborted baby fetal cells used in U.S. food and drink. You can thank the morons at the U.S. Patent Office for issuing such ridiculous patents on dead baby cell lines. Really, this is where it starts. For more information, see U.S. Patent Office. It goes on and on. Here, is China making dead babies? Imagine that. Some of China's pharmaceutical companies be making stamina pills for stillbirth. After the airing of documentary Soul Broadcast and some of this.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, you're welcome to the LA Steel Show. Are you ready, Woody? We're gonna
I certainly am.
We're gonna play your music, so just give a
Anyway, Pete, go ahead and start. Pete, Woody in the ring.
Yep.
Hey, real good evening, sports fans. Watch your heads on the ropes as you step into the ring with Woody. Tonight's topic, football. The NFL. Well, let me just say this before I get started. The NFL seems to dominate the headlines whatever time of year it's in the headlines, period. Just like whatever is happening in the NFL just trumps any other sport, no matter what time of year it is. And right now there's really a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. A lot of different stuff. a lot of stuff that's not good, you know. Is it ever good when it's the NFL? It seems like it's always something horrible. But we're going to start with something stupid, which would be the New York Jets acquiring one quarterback, Tim Tebow. This is probably, and probably will go down in sports, is one of the worst trades of all time. Guaranteed. Now, I know that I was on a few weeks ago, And, boy, what a shame it is to be right most of the time. But back a few weeks ago, I said that there is no way in hell that Tim Tebow will be playing for the Denver Broncos. He would be elsewhere, and, you know, sure enough, he is elsewhere. But I just never thought he would be, you know, with the Jets. It's kind of amazing. But, yeah, there's no way this marriage is going to work. No way whatsoever. You know, on a lot of different levels. And I think Sanchez is just going to melt. I really do. He's already got issues as it is. While nearly everyone who follows, cares about, or even roots for the Jets, found television yesterday at noon to watch Tim Tebow's introductory press conference, the man most affected by Tebow's arrival, stay away. Who would that be? Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, the Jets incoming quarterback, threw passes on a field in Southern California while his new backup fielded questions and smiled for the cameras. The unprecedented press conference for a backup, kicked off a quarterback controversy like we've never seen before. Unless, you know, you have Sanchez or Tebow, of course. Both players downplayed the quarterback competition. But let me show you this fact. Tim Tebow did not come to the New York Jets to start. He is definitely going to start. And he definitely wants to start. So I don't want to say, he doesn't want to start. You're just absolutely crazy. Believe me, Tebow wants to start. He started everywhere he's been. So, anyway, as I was saying, I'm not worried about losing my spot, Sanchez said on a conference call with reporters. I think Mike Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan, and this is from the Post, by the way, have been absolutely clear on the purpose of the signing. It's to add a new wrinkle to our offense and not to replace anybody. Oh, my God. I wonder if that's maybe what they told Sanchez, and he's so fucking stupid he bought it. That's a chance. I was just, oh, gosh. I really hope he's not that stupid. But, as I said, you know, back a few weeks ago, and not only would he, it's just a really big mess. And it's only going to get worse. And this move right here, by the way, is going to cost Rex Ryan his job. Because Ryan, with all his big mouth and everything else, he's going to have to back it up. And they're certainly not going to blame Tim Tebow. Believe me, Ryan, if this move does not work out, Ryan definitely is getting shit canned. You take that right to the bank. Right to the bank. Anyway, we're out a little bit. Tim Tebow, the pray-hey kid, held court inside the Jets Fieldhouse yesterday across from the photos of Joe Namath, Webb Eubank, and other members of the club's Ring of Honor. You know, he's already soaking his way in because it is the only place big enough to accommodate the swarm of local and national media that is captivated by his story. He isn't the starting quarterback. He is bigger than that. He already is the face of the franchise. Not even Rex Ryan is on the billboard by the Lincoln Tunnel. Mark Sanchez came out of hiding, finally, on the upside-down day when the Jets' brain trust used the occasion of the NFL's meetings in Florida to allow Assistant Public Relations Director Jared Winley to preside over the Pray Hey Kids official relocation program. 4.5 hours after Tebow was front and center, Sanchez surfaced on the conference call with the Jets beat writers. So and of course Nick doesn't make himself available. You know, it just doesn't matter. This is not going to work. The first interception Sanchez throws, the fickle Jet fans will be crying for Tebow. The first fumble, the first anything, it's just going to be like, wow, pins and needles. And, you know, as I said, you know, this is going to be Ryan's job. You know, he made this move wrong. It's going to cost him his job. And frankly, I think he deserves to cost him his job. Some of the moves that he's done this year, or lack your own move, he really should get it had it been someone else. You can take that to the bank for sure. Absolutely take that to the bank. But anyway, moving on. Now, there seems to be a little bit of trouble going on up in Boston. What a shame. There's already rumors going around that Bobby Valentine is not getting along with the new general manager for the Boston Red Sox. So that's going to make stuff real interesting. The Boston Red Sox, the off-screen and everything else, much like the locker room, it's a small environment. It's very, very kind of cooped up, and you can't really avoid anybody. So it's going to be very interesting if Valentine is already rubbing people the wrong way. Bobby Valentine certainly has the mannerisms that could rub you the wrong way. And it should be real interesting to see what goes down in the Big Easy. We'll see if it's easy in the Big Easy or not. I think it probably will get a little, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but that's half as fun as waiting and seeing. But I was thinking something's definitely on the downs. Yeah, for sure. As I said, Valentine does like to push buttons. And obviously, he'll be pushing some buttons with staff as well, too. Certainly wouldn't surprise me. That's just the way he operates. Totally. Just the way he operates.
You have about 3 minutes, and then we have to wind up.
Okay, Lila, thank you so much for the little tip there. Moving on just a little bit then. Okay. Thank you, Lila. You took me off my rhythm just a smidgen. What else is going on in baseball? I was going to talk about something. If I could just... Oh, sure. Well, the pitching with the New York Yankees is starting to shake out a little bit. I think Phil Hughes is going to be a safe bet. You know, Phil Hughes has done everything the Yankees have asked him since spring training camp open. Is it good enough for the right-hander to top one of the three open spots in manager Joe Girardi's rotation? He has done everything we have asked him to do as far as the offseason, and he has continued to work out on and for us on a regular basis. Obviously, a little ass-kissing going on here by Girardi, which is fine. That's a good sign. Hughes worked six innings against single-A Clearwater yesterday, allowing two runs and six hits, striking out four, and is not issuing a walk yet. Despite having trusted success in the bullpen in 2009 and having more career relief appearances, 49, than the other three candidates, Ivan Nova, Freddy Garcia, and Michael Pineda, for the final three rotation spots, the Yankees have viewed Hughes as a starter since the day of pitchers and starters. I've reported back to George and Steinbrenner Field. So they were leaning towards him as it was, and, you know, they put the money on the right horse. As you may or may not recall, last year, Phil Hughes came in camp. He had a little bit of a dead arm issue. He had put some weight on, and, you know, they sent him back to Triple A. Listen, buddy, it's the big leagues. Get your fat ass in the gym, basically, is what they told him. And that's pretty much the same thing with the Pineda kid this year. He's come in looking at the fastball as drops like a mile, 2 miles per hour. That right there, it doesn't happen. And it's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to drop, miles per hour on your fastball. If you do, there's something wrong with you. Something is definitely wrong. And sure enough, there's something wrong with him. But we'll see how he heals up. And the weather's been kind of funny, a little hot, a little cold. And let's hope for a little bit of hot.
Okay.
That's it for this week. Shout out to all my woodlands out there. Ron, Mark, Leo, Dino, Troy, right here at AFS. Everyone at the Northeast Athletic Club. That'll do it for this week. Hope for the warm weather. Peace out.
Thank you, Woody. We'll move on to, we have a little closing news.
Yeah. That article, I really hope you go to it. Go to 2012patriotwordpress.com, okay? And check it out. It's an absolutely staggering article, and it tells you all about what they're throwing into food and what they're doing to us. It's just unbelievable.
I can't believe from what the article said for 20 or 30 years,
been doing it for 20 or 30 years.
Aborted fetus kidney cells to enhance the flavor of Pepsi and lots of other foods.
That's right.
It's just
absolutely
I could hardly believe it. I could hardly believe what I was reading.
Yeah.
It was so shocking to me.
Oh, my God. Anyway, there's so much frightening news out there, folks. But this one here, whether or not it's good, bad, or different, I felt important to read it because there's been a massive number of resignations by CEOs around the world ever since the bailouts and everything else. And it turns out that this
they must have all resigned with golden parachutes.
Right. And it's a 2-minute video here that I'm going to
play.
So here we go. Explain it. Hopefully.
Allegations of much higher resignation numbers.
Oh, these damn
numbers on Wall Street by John McAfee, 20,000 plus extra resignations that no one is reporting, reposted from NaceraNews.blogspot.com. John McAfee, Nacera News, March 16, 2012, over 20,000 resignations, house arrests are visible using data from the SEC Securities and Exchange Commission. The Securities Exchange Act of 1934 requires that publicly traded companies must report to the SEC whenever a member of the board or certain officers resign. Also, the SEC has a database named EDGAR that is open to the public. After a little research, what was discovered is that corporations must report said resignations on Form 8K, Item 5.02. From there, it was a simple matter of searching only Form 8KS within a specific range of dates, and including the Boolean search terms resigns and resignation. I felt this would at least offer us a baseline comparison to see if there is truly an uptick in resignations, or if it just appears that way. I think you will be interested in the results. From the start of 2008 to the second quarter of 2011, the resignations remained steady at about 2,000 per quarter. Suddenly, in the third quarter of 2011, they increased by 50% to 3,000 for that quarter. That's an extra 1,000. Then in the fourth quarter, they jumped to 7,000. That's an additional extra 5,000. Resignations. Now, without the full quarter results for the first quarter of 2012, they are up to 16,000. That's an extra 14,000 resignations and increasing fast. That's a total of 20,000 plus extra resignations that no one is reporting in newspapers and nothing, of course, in the major media. These are people who were in sting situations but didn't know it when their opportunistic thefts of funds became a trap, providing evidence of their wrongdoing. Reports of their resignations usually involve house arrest, in many cases including inability to leave the country. Full exposure of their crimes will follow in due course.
This involves financial houses
and banks worldwide.
Okay. And that's the report.
So there's a lot of criminal activity.
It's on
the increase. It sounds like there are a lot of sting operations.
What they're saying, yeah, sting operations that were ongoing. And,
that was Dry John McAfee.
Yeah. News.
You must have done the research for that.
Yeah. But anyway, it'd be fascinating, huh? Fascinating.
Well.
Very fascinating.
I think it's more disturbing.
Anyway, this news amazes me all the time. I'm not sure.
Contrived disasters to be used to implement martial law.
Yeah, and shocking cancer survival rates from natural treatments. Not sure how long this particular one is.
Well, we've done a lot of these. It's kind of a long audio.
Yeah. Let's see what this one is. Contrived disasters to be used to implement martial law. We got about 3 minutes left, and I'm trying to find something just short here. Oh, here we go. I don't know if this one is short. what's happening in the New World Order brain implants?
Well, we just discussed that with the nanotechnology.
I know.
I'm sure it's quite similar.
Yeah, it probably is. Let me knock this out here. Okay. What do we got? This one was really interesting. This is a short article. U.S. exempts 10 EU states plus Japan from the Iran sanctions. I thought this was so hypocritical. It's unbelievable. I just lost my internet again. It knocked me out. No. Okay, folks. That's the way it is. Well, I've only got about a minute left, and I just wanted to... if you want to read that article, just go to Press TV, and it's called U.S. Exempts 10 EU States Plus Japan from Iran Sanctions. Whenever I go on the site, I get kicked out. It's like a virus that knocks me out, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you store your stuff on Facebook, it causes a problem.
Well, it's a good place to store it.
It's not if it doesn't work, it's not.
Well, it doesn't usually work, but for some reason it did today. I do not know why. If it will configure me in. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. And the show is just about done. But I want to thank everybody for joining us. And tomorrow night, I guarantee we'll have everything up and running, right?
I hope so. It's very discouraging when the internet kicks out like that.
Yeah, like that. So I'm hoping we will be all right. So I want to thank everyone and wish everyone a good night. And we will see you next week, we hope. See you next week, but we'll definitely see you tomorrow.
No, we'll be talking to you tomorrow night.
We will be talking to you tomorrow night.
If you're kind enough to
and
listen.
Why I can't find my music is driving me crazy. Here we go. All right. Good night, everybody.